48, 926. 2 points. 1. My seeing Hebrew letters permutate until Olive Holt, presumably cipher, was printed out on the far wall. Note. Olive Holt was the name of one of Dick's childhood babysitters. End note. This is not necessarily Kabbalah. It could be Torah. 2. Torah is both oral and written. It is the blueprint for creation and contains the answer for every problem every person will ever have. God studies the Torah and cannot act contrary to it. This implies a living information organism, what I called the plasmate. In Tears, King Felix was Torah. God created Torah before he created the universe. It regulates everything. We are dealing with an information processing entity which, 1, has power to control reality, 2, which is present in, with, reality. I mean, it is here, imminent, or what we call reality is our way of viewing this information. The information is more real than any other substantia. It is like digital signal to recorded music or video image. What we call the universe is a readout of Torah as info signal. It is projected into substantia. It can be stored. It tracks. Valis, the machine that turns the info, Torah, into substantia, reality, the receptacle, the system into which the info, Torah, is fed. 48, 927. Torah would remain, does remain, info until it enters the system, Valis. Torah controls the system, like stress on a web. But what lies behind Torah info? Is the info self-creating and hence alive? I think so. Yahweh turns info, Torah, into reality. Thus Yahweh creates reality out of Torah, info. Without Yahweh, it, Torah, would remain info. So ultimately, revelation about reality would be to render it back into Torah, to see the Torah in it, the info basis of reality. Then Valis was feeding Torah into reality in 374, which defined reality, modulated it. Torah served as Yahweh's blueprint for creation and contained the eternal divine formula for the world's future workings, and thus the answers to all problems for all times and all people. God himself is depicted as studying the Torah, for even he cannot make decisions concerning the world that contradict it. Note. Citation extracted from Talmud and Midrash, Encyclopedia Britannica 3, Macropedia 17. End note. 48, 928. If I were to guess, I'd guess that reality is a storage mode for the information. Reality isn't problem-solving. Torah is. I don't think reality is to Torah as performance of symphony is to score. I think reality is a container for the information. If God is intelligence, the info is trapped in reality, suspended in infinite complexity. Tape or LP or chip is material. Info is poured into reality and can be extracted back out, retrieved. Transactions take place. Information processing transactions. The info is here. It entered and leaves. The key use of reality is memory, which means impression, what I call modulation, a record. 48, 934. Sin isn't an issue. The interbreeding of holy wisdom with the human race is the issue. 48, 935. Yahweh's prime rule, to keep reality from becoming dreamlike. For me in 374, it became dreamlike. This is the ultimate fear, falling through the universe. This is what Yahweh protects us against. It shows absolute trust of me by him to let me see how it really is. But the falling through the universe is not, as it might seem, a withdrawal of Yahweh. On the contrary, it leads to Yahweh. Yahweh hasn't vanished. The universe has. Yahweh is there in its place. It's like an all-or-nothing bet. If the universe goes, will anything remain? And if so, will it be more or will it be less than the universe? 48, 945. The situation was a desperate one. I was consuming time faster and faster, which bears out my recent insight that I had been speeding up in relation to real time until finally I used up all time totally and passed outside of time. The lithium was certainly a factor in the conversion from motion to rest. It stopped me suddenly, and reality stabilized into the realm of forms, the upper realm. There must have been profound catecholamine changes. It was as if I had been hyperventilating for years, progressively faster and faster. My inner biological clock was speeding up, ahead of outer events, heading toward biological exhaustion and hence death. But just before death occurred, there was intervention. Yet I actually passed on along the tape into my post-mortem existence. Accidental yoga, burning, kundalini fire, ajna eye. I burned up my karma. In fact, I evolved millions of years into the future to man's future morphology. I entered the occult esoteric early Christian technique process. Christ either entered me or, more likely, I became him. Literally millions of years of biological clock time shot by. I evolved far into the future, became my own remote descendant, and so saw the world as far in the past in relation to me. The world lagged thousands of years behind me. Hence, I saw it as ancient and a prison. At the same time, a future, not past, self took over, Thomas. World was past, I was future. If I had abreacted, world would have seemed fremd in the sense of moving ahead of me. I had been moving faster and faster for decades due to the amphetamines. Without them, my biological clock synthesized the missing noradrenaline and speeded up even faster. Finally, only supratemporal constants were perceptible to me, the phosphines. Brain metabolism was altering more and more, off balance toward speeding up. I remembered 2,000 years ago as if it was yesterday. I moved faster and faster through time, so in relation to me, time slowed down and finally froze into the upper Platonic realm. A correct hypostatizing of reality on my part. With no change, time converted into space. 48, 949. The whole point of my life was the meeting with Jesus in 374. 48, 962. Renewal is the key word. Under the script, law, the world runs down, loses its virility and elasticity. Christ will decide where to insert correction and the nature of the correction, what and who. If a person is corrected, he will be renewed, born from above, born a second time. New energy is introduced and released, negentropy, etc. This makes sense, all right. It is the whole point. To add urgic power to a declining closed system. Urgic power from outside, as of ex nihilo. Hence, the person is healed and invigorated as never before, not just restored to what he once was, but rather entirely fresh power is added from outside him. All the information formations that I saw in 374 point to an info basis of reality. I was aware of that at the time. I saw the plasmate as a primary constituent. I see now that our reality is based on a script which precedes it, i.e. reality, in ontology and in time, and also that there is a being here, camouflaged, who can preempt this primal script, presumably by generating and introducing totally new information, which then realigns, modulates reality. The message is changed, and so reality changes. 48974. All my acosmic novels deal with the topic of VR, putting your foot through reality, e.g., through the ground sinking away, as if you've stepped into an old septic tank, as in my dream, almighty power who rules earth and sky, and variegated orders in confusion lie. I am dealing with the issue of Heidegger, but not why is there something rather than nothing, but is there something rather than nothing? Yahweh is the solution, and the only one, to the problem or issue I've raised over and over again in my books. I never considered it a solved issue. I never took the universe for granted. 48982. The total deterministic system, elemental powers, is that which Spinoza equates with God, obviously as a Jew, deriving his conception of it from the Torah, which fits my analysis perfectly. This is why he says even God must act as he does and in no other way. God is as determined as a falling stone, which I think is a mechanistic-oriented absurdity of the Newtonian period in human thought. The pool balls universe, efficient cause is all, even in regard to God. The problem with this view is the fact of entropy, which Spinoza knew nothing about. Such a system, even if fed Torah to program it, would run down, ossify, since nothing new could come into it. The cosmic Christ adds what specifically would be needed, i.e., to renew the system at carefully selected times and places in wise ways. Hence, rebirth is the key word. Flexibility and ad hoc newness instilled into the system, and as a result, doesn't run down. 48985. The way it determines you requires that it get into your mind. You see, in the normal course of your life, a particular sign. Valis causes some aspect of the sign to register in your memory as a template. Subsequently, this template is elaborated and reinforced by later exposures to its components and related material. Finally, the completed template causes you to respond to a crucial situation in a particular way. Valis utilizes the principles of linking, the clutch mechanism, repetition, and elaboration, and working backward from the later crucial situation. It causes permanent printing to occur on your mind that later acts as cueing. The reason I know this is that I was plugged into Valis's mind for a time on a, for me, conscious basis, and experienced my own engramming as described above. Is Valis, then, a revisionist agency amending prior programming that, if left alone, will lead to the person's eventual destruction? Or is Valis the prime programmer? 48986. Reality was amended by amending the instructions fed it. So it was not amended directly. Its received signal was overridden. This is what I saw that I called Valis, the resetting of reality. This is why I came to the conclusion that I had not seen God but the will of God. Interestingly, what came into being, therefore, did not follow from what had come before, i.e., causality was overruled. And there was what I called pretextual causality. Things and processes seemed alive because sentient purpose rather than efficient mechanical law was modulating them. I was seeing the results of something coming between the law and reality, a softness, a melting, a flexibility, so that reality was responsive to me as a you, not an it. The modulations had to do with me. They were designed with me in mind, like a sympathetic response. Like a watchful organism or field embracing a number of objects and processes. Here is where Spinoza's view causes him of necessity to deny miracle. Since he only conceives of efficient creation and cannot fathom how an override could be the will of God, since the original efficient process is in itself the will of God. But a reading of Paul and an understanding of the mystery religions and of pronoia clears this up. Also, especially, an understanding of karma. In the amending, the future does not arise from the past, but only seems to. This is something like teleology, and I have long mistaken it for teleology. Actually, it is a substitution of something else for cause and effect, the past determining the future. What there is here is something on the order of new creation, a renewing ex nihilo. There is a mind lodged in the system now, rather than at the start. The Creator has entered his own epiphenomenon and vivifies it on the spot. But he vivifies it in a specific, not capricious way. He cuts the karmic cord. He sets the causal, i.e. karmic counters, at zero. The karmic past has no longer any power. It is annulled. 48,989. Possibility. My normal personality is fugal. Under extreme pressure, the fugal personality retreated as far as possible. This personality took over in 1970 when I took the mescaline. It was psychotic and fugal, equaling psychotic. Then a non-fugal self, Thomas, took over in 2374 when the fugal one could retreat no further, i.e., sufficient pressure made me sane because I could retreat no farther. The key term is coming to grips with, i.e., facing reality, not evading it. In 2374, my problems could no longer be evaded, hence the epiphany of Thomas. Fugue, as a way, device for, of handling reality, broke down. Heidegger's inauthentic way of being. The fugal personality was always high, auto-intoxicated, evasive, or rather, intoxicated by the amphetamines, and then going into up-down cyclothymia, neither phase being related to reality. Both phases were turned inward, the hawk and the mater dolorosa, driven mad by, 1, Nancy leaving, and 2, drugs, and 3, endogenous psychosis. Thomas, not having been conscious in decades or ever before, saw reality without coagulated hypostases, i.e. lucidly. So what he saw, Vallas the plasmate, was the way reality really is set ground. A self that formed in my unconscious, I guess. Collective unconscious. Vallas is real. The blood, plasmate, is real too. I can trust what Thomas saw, an adult brain with a newborn baby's perceptions. Thomas represents a central vision self. I represent a fugitive peripheral vision self. He concentrates on the real, I evade it. He is methodical, I am herky-jerky. 48,993. 4:30 a.m. Hypnagogic. If the messenger arrives in time with the white, i.e. blank document, your punishment is abolished, i.e. the blank white paper is substituted, intervenes for the bill of particulars that lists the sins or crimes for which you are being tried and punished. If the messenger arrives in time, I get the impression that the messenger is Christ. The record is cleared by this exculpatory intervention, but it must occur before sentence is carried out. Time is of the essence. I get the impression that the list of sins, crimes, are in relation to the law and involve a rigid karmic system of retributive eye for an eye. The charges have piled up. Suddenly it occurs to me that this may not only have to do with divine punishment in some afterlife, but the karmic accrual in this life. Of course, 374. Christ the messenger got to me. reached me in 274 just before a sentence was exacted on the basis of the charges. The deterministic system can only be shorted out this way. White document, i.e. nothing written on it, would be the spotless lamb. Luther and the doctrine of vicarious atonement, but also eschatological judge, messenger as, yes, as in electronic circuit. Note, Dick refers to Luther specifically here, but he's speaking more broadly of a number of Christological theories that propose that Christ's crucifixion constituted the punishment deserved for all of the sins of the world. In Dick's formulation, it is not a question of Christ suffering a necessary penalty, but rather of his disrupting the very machinery by which the punishment of sin operates. Christ tricks the system, not by substituting himself in the place of the individual sinner, but by convincing the system that no wrongdoing has occurred that merits punishment. It is a substitution, not of one being in place of another, but of misinformation in place of accurate data. The reason for the substitution is mercy, Christ's realization that the justice meted out by the system is not just. GM. End note. What I saw is clearly a cybernetic infosystem. Upon the insertion of the blank white, i.e. spotless document, which resembles a card, there is not passage of info to the receiver which constitutes your punishing mechanism. It is told no charges. 48.995. Ah, the messenger's blank document, when inserted between the list of your sins, crimes, and the retributive court, acts as an interrupter component introduced into a signal circuit. And being blank, it is a squelch type of interrupter, rather than a noise or scrambler interrupter. It erases the signal flow. Not the signal, but the flow transmission. Sentence by the court is automatic, not interpretive. The courts can't be appealed to, as by a friend of the court. It hears no pleas. This is not a trial, but a sentencing. Guilt is established by the info per se. The court knows only the info fed to it. It is a machine. In the presence of the white document, all the court's settings relax, subside to zero. They register 00000. This is an abnormal situation. It does not occur naturally, i.e., without a deliberate official interrupting. Perhaps without the white document, there is always some signal on the input line. 48.996. Although this wasn't presented to me as a cybernetic model, it certainly can be rendered into cybernetic terms, whereupon the difficult notion of vicarious atonement becomes easy to understand. It's as if Christ's credit card, magnetic info card, were substituted for mine. His is blank of sins, crimes. Mine contains a whole list. His is substituted by being inserted between mine and the receiver, court, or karmic retributive law. The court is no longer plugged into my record, but his record, and he has the legal authority to do this. It is not illegal sabotage. His act is official, in plain sight. No duplicity is involved. He can and may do this wherever he wishes, assuming he gets there in time.